Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm not following your line of question.
Welcome back to another episode. Don't ask me no questions here on the Crow Pod. Of course, brought to you by our friends at famousheadwear.co.uk and bluegroomart.co.uk. We gave away shit to 10 or 11 people last month. I don't even know. We gave away a bunch of shit last month. It's a new month. We're giving away more shit. All you got to do is support the show. Scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, or go to support.thecopelandroad.org, and you can win stuff. Like, I don't know what Blue Room Art is giving us for this month. Andy Simpson won a fucking fantastic canvas print, Vibrox, so it'll be shipping out sometime this week. But stuff from the famous, stuff from them. And, of course, Crow Scarf. Go get your scarf. Pre-orders running through Saturday? Sunday. Next Sunday. God damn, I forgot what day it is. Next Sunday, November 12th, we're taking pre-orders. So go down, find the link for that. Danny's back. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Good weekend. I had fun. We've had a fun like week of football. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It really lifts the spirit quite a bit to be able to look forward to watching Rangers games, and the fact that there's so many coming thick and fast over the next couple of months.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of opportunities to be happy or
miserable. Yeah.
But well, right now it seems like happy.
Until somebody good gets injured and then the whole thing's fucked. But yeah.
Yeah, but come on, Scott Wright's scoring goals. Although it appears that we've replaced Scott Wright with two Korean broads. So he may be gone. We gave out his shirt. Would Jimmy Bell have stood for giving them his shirt number? I don't think so.
No, he'd be chasing them out the door with a fucking broomstick or something.
This is that bit of, you know, look, before we get to the football, I just want to make one point abundantly clear yet again, because apparently some people in the support have lost their fucking minds. James Bisgrove is a feckless, useless, wage-stealing cunt who should not be the CEO of our football club. Period. And we don't even have to add anything else to that. I just want to make it very clear. And I know there's people. Hi, everybody at the club listening to this. Your boss is a fucking idiot who shouldn't be anywhere near Ibrox. So whenever he's replaced by a competent professional, we'll be better.
You can't say much more than that, but I definitely can.
but we're going to get bogged down. We've only got a certain amount of time.
I know.
On that fucker.
Like, my entire existence on Twitter basically exists because that guy's such a cunt. But yeah.
I just don't get people. Everything he does is great. Do you not remember the fucking Postecoglou homecoming bullshit he wanted to do? Or the fucking Turkish money laundering scheme? Or the fact that he put out a fucking shirt that they had to send an iron-on to people to add over? Like, he did all of that. He did all of that. The fact that Edmondson House was 200% over budget and took 2 years longer to get done. That was him. God damn it. Oh.
And it was about half the size, so we couldn't even fit all these K-pop fans in if we really wanted to. the strategy doesn't fucking match up, does it? God.
No. So again, James, if you're listening, or you know somebody like Rab or anybody at the club, please feel free to pass on my comments because I don't give a fuck. You know who else is pretty fucking dense? And I didn't, you know. We've talked about this, right? Footballers are basically idiots. They kick a ball, right? That's what they do. But then some of them become managers, and you have to listen to them talk, and you realize just how fucking stupid they are. And Stephen Naismith is not a man who should be behind a microphone ever. How do managers at any at this level, right? How do you not understand just the basic laws of the game, or like how VAR works? It's part of your job. Mm. How do you not get it?
Well, that's the thing, because some of it can come across as just whiny bullshit. Speaking from as an expert here, some of it can come across as that, just, oh well, he's gonna
yeah, you just got pumped badly. Your fans left after the 55th minute,
publicly back his players, give them every excuse they possibly can. Yeah, sure, whatever. That's like 101 of shit manager talk, right? But then you start to get an insight into their actual understanding of the game in general, not just VAR. It can apply to pretty much anything. Some footballers don't know the game very well, and some do. And when it transfers into being a manager, you get a real insight into how their brain works.
This happens in every sport, though, doesn't it? Because, like, very rarely are very good baseball players good managers. It's always like, you know, backup catchers and guys who had like a big wing career. Yeah. Like, you don't, you know, like Babe Ruth was a shitty manager, right? I mean, it's how it fucking works. Like, outside of Frank Robinson, there probably isn't a single major league player with that good of a career that ever did it. And it's the same in football, right? I mean, like, Walter he was a good enough footballer. You know, Alec Ferguson, despite not being able to do anything in the cup final, was, just an average, pretty good footballer. Mm-hmm. Yet, they turn into good managers. Stephen Naismith was he was an average footballer, and yet somehow still a fucking moron.
Yeah. Well, I had a conversation with a Canadian the other week about this, and, you know, they don't, I love them, but they don't really know very much about football themselves.
Hi, Todd.
Sorry, Todd.
At the fucking the gelato stand or whatever the hell it is where he goes over there today, by the way.
Frosinone or whoever it is. but no. Excuse me, my headphones just fell off. No, I was having a conversation with one of them the other week about this, and they were talking about, you know, certain managers and whatever else, and why do some of these big names never really go into management or whatever? And, you know, Zidane's really the only one that's nailed it, because he's fucking Zidane. But it's such a rarity, and I think even nowadays, like, look back at the 2000s and the 90s and however far back you really want to go, most of the best managers in the Premier League were Scottish. Now they're fucking nowhere to be seen, and my thinking behind that, save for Walter and Sir Alex being tactical geniuses, obviously, but really, was it just a thing about cunts wanted to be shouted at back then, and they don't now? Because that's the only thing we're good at. So now you have all these bald Europeans kicking about. It's just a different game. But yeah,
we've got the best one.
yeah. Well, Naismith's bald as fuck, and he's still shit. So
hey, he's still a fucking idiot. God, I thought Michael Stewart would be the dumbest one coming out of fucking yesterday, and somehow Naismith still took on. Which? Well, I guess Rangers TV was just the actual feed yesterday, whatever the TV feed was. But I don't know if you got who was that? What was that? McKinley that got in the second yellow, and then that was rescinded and everything. And there,
Kingsley.
but fucking okay, place for hearts. I don't give a shit. but there was a they were like, yo, I think they give out these cards too easily. Like, maybe give him the benefit of a doubt that it wasn't a dive, and wait till the VAR check. No, the purpose, you book him for diving. And then you go look at VAR, right? That's what he saw on the park. And then you take it back. That's the point. Like, you follow the laws of the game. They're written down. It's very easy to know. Like, if you're unclear and you're doing comms on, say, like a semifinal of a fucking cup, if you're unfamiliar with the laws, FIFA has like a little book you can buy every year, and they come out. You can just look at them, and then you know what they are before you go on TV and make an absolute cunt of yourself.
Yeah. But the you've nailed it there, Shane, because VAR exists to cover those gray areas of the game where the referee's never really going to know in that instance how much contact there was.
No.
That's why it exists, and that's ultimately why it can be a good thing. Many, many problems with VAR, but to pick that as the battle is just fucking ridiculous.
Well, it's like Arteta. Anybody who didn't watch it, whatever, you can bitch. But see, this is the problem that kills me with it. There were three fucking checks on one passage of play. It took 3.5 minutes to know that was a goal. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. I am still... Look, you want to do VAR, it's fine. It's whatever. It's in every sport. We're never getting rid of it. But you should get two angles, two looks, and that's it. It shouldn't take more than 30 fucking seconds. Because if you can't see it that quickly, it's not a clear and obvious decision. And whatever the fuck was called on the park is what should stand. If it's not blatantly clear and obvious, it should be one look. It shouldn't take that fucking long to make these goddamn decisions. It kills the whole flow in nature. It's sport. It's not perfect. It's not flawless. That's why we watch it. That's why we get pissed off at it. That's why we have fun at it.
Yeah. But it's also why you need some element of leeway and benefit of doubt involved in the process. Because how many offsides have you seen where it's such a fucking hairline? You'd be much better off giving the benefit of the doubt to the forward. It's not really that difficult to iron these things out, but apparently it is.
Well, I hate these ones now with like the laser guided whatever the Hawkeye thing that they're using from outside and like his pinky toes off. It's like Jesus,
fucking Christ, but a ball here. But I mean, even Wenger had the sense to kind of mention things like that recently. Whether or not it'll come into action, I'm not sure. But it really fucking needs to, because there's too much of that. If you can save fucking 5 minutes of sitting around watching shit being replayed 5 times and maybe just come to an easier conclusion with that element of, you know, benefit of doubt, then perhaps, but who the fuck might, you know?
So I don't, you know, yesterday, I know we had like 7 decent chances in the first half, but we still, like, I thought we looked flat in the first half. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know. And for us to come out and just completely boss the second 45, you know, with all the problems we've had around fitness and players being able to actually see out a match and everything, but that we looked that much better for those 20 minutes coming out of halftime and just fucking killed them.
It's purely pulling the intensity up a level or two. You know, Dundee during the week, we were quicker to the ball. We were sharper to Dundee. And that, those kind of early stages of them building patterns of play and sort of trying to find ways forward, we were much quicker to get out at them and get the ball off them. And yesterday, what you seen in the second half was actually the front line really pressing as one sort of continuous movement, whereas in the past it's been inconsistent, shall we say. maybe one or two try every now and then they just fucking don't, because it doesn't work unless they all do it. And we're really starting to see some of that pull together, and some of what the players should be doing in tandem as a unit is coming through a lot better now. But
Scott Wright looked like a footballer yesterday. Jesus Christ. Well,
he's got a fucking haircut and he's grown a beard, so he's obviously grown up a wee bit. Maybe that's the secret. Who knows?
Here's Todd Cantwell, right? Because we've got this is the same problem we always have. We can't sign a right winger because we've only had, what, Candeus in the past, like, 15 years is the only out-and-out right wing we've had.
Yeah.
And, you know, for being a right-wing club as we are, you would think we'd be fine. But I mean, is Cantwell, I'm still torn on Cantwell because there's times, you know, you see, like, brilliant flashes from him, right? Mm-hmm. But is it because he's clearly a number 10. He's not a right wing. And we're having to shoehorn him in out there because we don't have one. I mean, is he going to be another? It's like Haji. It's like another casualty of us not being able to either produce or sign right wings ever. So I can't tell if he's good where he should be played. Well, or, and now I sound like Chris Sutton, but Jesus Christ.
he is a good footballer, first and foremost. He does have an awful lot of technical ability. It's the other stuff that I think is perhaps lacking, or our ability to like you're kind of saying, sort of put him into that position and give him free reign, because I think he's one of these footballers that probably needs to be the star of the show to actually He'll pull everything together. He should be the main man central over Lammers, just purely based on technical ability alone.
Talent, yes.
But that's actually a broader argument, I think, Shane. Save for all the kind of recruitment stuff that we've spoken about and done to death already about maybe actually finding a good player that fits in those positions. It's also just about our ability to turn a player that's maybe underperforming into a consistent and overall well-rounded player. It just doesn't really happen for us. And for all Beale's reputation, even under Gerrard, I don't think we often really developed players very well. No. I think one or two we got more out of. I certainly think...
Nathan Patterson, obviously. But
yeah, some of it's also coincidental. I think the kind of upskilling of Tavernier and Morelos as an example, the two most notable under Gerrard's time, was somewhat an inevitability of their technical ability, as well as a guy that can actually fucking lead people and motivate them. So really what you're hoping to see now is that Clement can do that. But a little bit, you know, a little bit more than just one or two. It needs to be five or six at a minimum with this group. But I think it's there. There's a lot of people on Twitter going particularly nuts about the fawning after Scott Wright after another good goal at Hampden. And I don't necessarily disagree with them. But
he's useful. He's like Christian Gayley, right? He's a useful piece in a side that he can't be a key player. He can't be a focal point. But he is someone that you can bring on for half an hour. He's willing to get into a challenge unless it's fucking in Seville. But, you know, outside, like, he can play a pass. He can finish, you know. And again, we've got a goal from more than 4 yards out. Like, if you shoot sometimes, the ball goes in.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We have to probably contextualize that within this squad. He could be a very useful player, I think.
Yeah.
Overall.
Now, ideally, he shouldn't be anywhere near the squad. We should have players in him. Yeah. But right now, he's a functional, useful piece. But again, he should be a piece, not somebody that we're relying on to God, fuck.
But to your point, Shane, about getting shots off, even outside or in the box, I mean, you know, you'd like to see it all, but I think that was one of the most notable things about yesterday, that we were much quicker to get efforts away. We were quite happy for a shot or two to get blocked. And what you've seen, it probably on more than one occasion yesterday, but there's one in particular I'm thinking of. I can't even remember who it was, which doesn't fucking help. But somebody, I was drunk and then subsequently hungover.
And you can't see.
That, there's also that. Those two things intertwine. Quite terrible. Somebody took an effort from the edge of the box, and I actually deflected and fell at the feet, I think, of Seymour on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And another opportunity was created out of that.
That's not necessarily that you have to hit the target. A shot changes the shape of the defense. If the ball comes back to you, they're out of shape. Well, so, you know, you're usually...
It's all phases of play.
Look, speaking of people on Twitter getting things wrong...
Oh, fuck.
Again, James Bisgrove is the problem at the club, not James Tavernier, who again carried us fucking through everything in that match. He's back. It's Tav again. We're back to real James Tavernier.
It's funny what a manager that a player can believe in can actually get out of them. I think we're seeing that across the team in general, but. There'll be a lot of people that make the argument that, oh, well, Tav's the captain. He should be the leader of the dressing room. He should be the de facto leader if the manager's not doing enough. But what is Tavernier, what is any captain going to do? Just interject and say, fuck you and fuck your management team.
Yeah.
I'll take charge of everything. It doesn't work like that, especially not nowadays. Everybody looks back at captains of the past 20, 30, 50 years. And it's just not what you have anymore in any team. Well, it's the group within the dressing room that has to lead. Right. There has to be more than Tav. So when you're seeing him pick his performance levels up and others don't, what fucking more can he do?
Well, but, I mean, it's the void of McGregor and Morales not being there,
yeah,
you know? Well, it's Conor Goldson, as we know, is never going to step up and be that kind of player. He's not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very good. And with a good squad around him, he looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. he's not that guy. And we don't have, you know, Ryan Jack's never going to play more than fucking 50% of matches. So he's not there enough to actually do that. There's not a lot of other people in the squad right now. We don't have... You know, it's like you're saying, like people want to wax lyrical, you know, pining for like a Davey Weir. But the only reason David Weir worked was because Walter Smith was his fucking boss. And that's what you need.
There's a reason that Davey Weir, despite his obvious abilities, both as a footballer and as a leader, he wasn't necessarily supposed to be a mainstay at Everton. We have to be realistic about where players come from and where they fit in. With Tavernier,
he was played at the University of Wigan. Evansville, people. He spent 4 years playing in Southern Indiana, right? He played against my brother in college.
That's where
David Weir came from.
And sometimes those people rise to the top, sometimes off the back of their leadership qualities. But I think with Tavernier, it's purely you're going to have a guy that puts his all into what's on the pitch. He will inevitably make mistakes. He's played 400-odd games for the club. If you can draw up a list of his mistakes, I'll show you a list that is 100 times longer of everything good that he's done.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if he was a player with better players around him, we'd be winning a lot more things. It's not on James Tavernier that we have not won enough trophies. It's on the people at the club that have not run it in an adequate way to put better players around them.
Yep.
In the same vein that if we had more guys, like even a Nathan Patterson, as you said, but you know, if we had more guys that were like Morelos, Kent, whoever, at their best, then they wouldn't be here very long. But you know, you then have to have people that put the money back.
Sell them, and you find another Joe Aribo.
Yeah.
find another Glenn Kamara. Yeah. That's
and
your
by
job.
The way. There are several levels below what the likes of Brighton or whatever fucking model you want to use. Who cares, right?
Brighton, I don't give a fuck. Pick one.
Yeah, it's a boring argument to say. Well, we should just be like
Let's just do that one. We should.
We're
be
very
IX.
Unique. We're very unique, and our circumstances are quite different because we don't have massive TV deals for a start. But, you know, that's the argument to have. You have to go a bit deeper than saying it's one or two players' fault that we're not winning enough trophies.
We had £50 million in player sales and European revenue. Uh-huh. Where the fuck did it go?
Well,
it didn't go into the squad. I mean,
into a fucking black hole, evidently.
Yeah. Still unaccountable. Completely unaccounted for. Bennett has never explained it. He did one interview. Again, one fucking interview. The guy has not talked since being chairman. One interview and just went, there's £6.5 million unaccounted for. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, fire James Bisgrove. We're coming back second half right after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to part two of, what's the name of the show? Don't Ask Me No Questions. Jesus Christ. Sorry, folks, you're going to have to stick around to the end of the show because me and Danny just spent 15 minutes talking about Football Manager and I completely lost what the fuck I was doing here. So, bonus Crowpod content at the end.
We are gonna get rinsed in the group chat if any of those countries for being such massive virgins.
Like, if Cad says something, I'm fucking flying over and slapping him. And I hate flying. Don't forget, scroll down. Please visit our friends, thefamousheadwear.co.uk and blueroomart.co.uk. Our good friends are giving away stuff from them every single month. All you gotta do is scroll down, support the show, help us out, pay the bills. I need to get a new laptop still. This thing's, I don't know how it's still working. So you can help me get a new laptop, and then I can do more Crowpods because you don't get enough already. Go visit them, help them out, help us out. Everybody's happy. Maybe you win stuff. You know, it's a good deal. I want to laugh at some of the other jobber clubs here quick. Well, you know, I mean, let's just start with yesterday, right? We'll get to Aberdeen in a second. Yeah. There was a cunt on Twitter. One of those, like, how great were the support yesterday? It was like, I spent more time at fucking Hamden than your fucking supporters did. And they want, what, didn't they want like a 15,000 allocation? They didn't even sell the, like, they didn't even come close to selling the one that they fucking got. What, why do we have to go through this. Every fucking semifinal and final that we're in, we have to go through this shit every goddamn time. You're not going to send 20,000 supporters because you can't get 10 in your fucking grounds every goddamn week.
Like, yeah, but miraculously, in the final, they'll sell their full allocation.
What was it? All of a sudden, it's fine. They want a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
Fuck,
yeah.
For what? God. We go through it too, like every, you know, whenever, because we have to go play at their fucking middens. We should just get to play all 38 matches at Ibrox, but. Like, you know, we have to go through this shit every goddamn, like, oh, you know, Rangers only get fucking, you know, like fucking Hearts, same thing. What do they give us now? It's just one. We could fill two stands. You guys can't fill two stands.
Half of their stand is empty. Like, when they've made those cuts, I think even against the Terriers the other week, the other side of the stand was fucking empty. They can't even fill it with their own fans.
I do not understand, like, it's a dereliction of duty under the Companies Act. You are willfully taking money out of your fucking business by doing this shit. I don't fucking get it. And we've been you know, of course, it started back in fucking 2012. Like, well, sell out Saturday. Fuck off. Sell out Saturday. Kiss my ass. You guys have, so, like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, they put fucking banners on the whole upper ring of the Gyrodome while we were fucking gone. Like, what the hell? Bullshit.
It's the thing with these kind of clubs. Like, if Aberdeen had to go down to the bottom tier of Scottish football, they'd not.
Oh, they'd go out of business immediately. Yeah, no,
they'd be done with them.
You turn Pottery into a fucking Tesco. Like, they'd be done.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all just Scottish football doing Scottish football things. It's the country eating itself alive purely on the basis of division. And while at times.
Purely on the basis of we hate Rangers. That's.
Well. That's still half the country, right? We're the other half here, see. But yeah, it's all that. It's all just fucking. It's not. You can't even call it self-preservation. You can't even fucking label it as anything other than just outright bitter, pure hatred. And while Scottish football kind of thrives on that, it's the thing that kills us. It's never going to improve the product on the pitch if fans don't turn up to games first and foremost. But after the fact, it doesn't look good on telly. When the other
what's the like SPFL Media Watch, that fucking useless piece of shit. But he's like, thank God we've got a match not involving the old firm. Nobody wants to watch it. It's bad. It doesn't look good on television when your fucking mid and tiny ass fucking grounds are goddamn half full. Or you can't be bothered building a forced stand. On one side of your fucking, like, it's Fucking amateur shit.
Well, that was the issue that was being pointed out on Sunday, because the SPFL highlights program, or whatever the fuck it's called on BBC, Sports Scene, whatever that thing that I never watch nowadays, they were complaining why that wasn't on because Dundee and Livy were still playing. Sorry, but if you want people to watch that game, then
good luck
with that. Yeah, I found it more interesting watching highlights of, what was it, at the weekend? Swindon Town getting pumped 7-4 by Aldershot. That's far more entertaining than our worst game in the league.
Can we laugh at Dundee for a second also, too? I didn't realize that it's called the Scott Foam Stadium at Dens Park now. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
stadium is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that one. you have a wooden stand still. What the fuck are you talking about?
Weren't Hamilton Accies sponsored by some sort of CBD company at one point?
Yeah. I was like, when Motherwell had cash converters on the front of the
for like 10 years. It was on the top of that. It was on the top of that stand. Remember, it used to have the big no smoking sign. It was just cash converters like 3 times overlapped on that stand. Oh, it's fucking pathetic. And don't get me wrong, like I understand that they are in a very like James Bisgrove on the first day of his job as marketing director kind of level, where there's fuck all there. There's gonna be fuck all there for the foreseeable future, fair enough, but this is why you can't take 20,000 people to Hamden, because you're so fucking part time.
Well, maybe stop giving Neil Doncaster a fucking blank check just because he doesn't like us. Like, you know, just like Rangers need competent executives and we should fire James Bisgrove, Scottish football doesn't have competent executives. Roger Mitchell is the best one that we've had in like 25 years, and he's a fucking moron. He's literally the guy shilling gold on fucking Twitter. Like the fucking commercials that your grandma watches while she's watching her stories in the afternoon. Like, it's fucking insane.
He is one step away from jumping into your DMs saying, I've got this great passive income route for you if you're really interested.
But you know what? He's having dinner next to Lake Como right now. What are you doing? You know? Not that he's ever told anybody that.
Well, that's a bit like owning a McLaren, isn't it? But I own a McLaren, and I'm a director at Rangers. So what the fuck do you do? Who are you to question what I fucking do with my career? Whatever.
Oh, we need some more James Tavernier love in. I think you had more good James Tavernier stuff.
If we weren't insufferable by now, we are definitely about to be. Because when players achieve this kind of level of greatness that James Tavernier is at. Let's be clear on that. They start pushing records. I don't think he's in any danger of reaching number one on the list for Rangers.
No,
he is number one.
You can chase Ali. You know, give him about 35 more seasons. He'll be right there.
He wouldn't football manage. No, he's number 32 on the list of all-time Rangers top goal scorers, which as a right back is pretty admirable. But then you also see that he's 5 goals behind Kenny Miller.
Thank God. Drop him down the list every chance you get.
Please. Yes, please. Thank you. But yeah, Tav is doing Tav things very well. On top of that, though, Shane, he is number 7 on the list of top goal-scoring defenders of all time. Similarly, he's not in any danger of catching Ronald Koeman at 250-odd goals. He can try, and I'd like to see him. But, he's getting there. He is, although you do have to look at number 6 and see Graham Alexander there, but yeah. 115 goals. I think even Fernando Hierro at number 3 may be within reach at 163.
That's so doable. He's got another 4 years at this level, I think.
Yeah,
we're going to have a conversation, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you might actually, some people might actually get their wish and see him converted into a centre mid at that point if he's got no more legs in him. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, we're gonna have to replace John Lundstrom somehow. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is what was, since we're loving people that we love. It's the thing, you know, like when Morales got to whatever, what was it, 100? When he got to 100. It's like, he did that without being the penalty taker. Like, had Morales would be on 175 goals had he been the penalty guy. Or, well, he'd be 150. He'd be at about 150.
Because what? I think he'd miss a few.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, that's, like, think about that good of a goal return from him, and he was, you know, he didn't take penalties. Like, that's fucking crazy.
No. Excuse me, Shane, while I pop my earphone back for the
time. Well, you know, it's, like, with Tavernier, too, God bless Borna. You know, he's actually kind of showing up because he realizes that there's somebody else that can probably do his job if he doesn't fucking want to. But when he was standing there, like he was going to take that free kick, like, no, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? God, we all know is about to happen here.
But the other thing that people forget, and is something we highlighted last week, is that Tavernier's assists are higher than his goals.
Yeah.
Which is just outrageous. But it would be the statistic that you would expect to be higher, given that he's a right back, he's not a forward. But to be contributing over 200 odd goals and assists in 400 odd games.
Well, and again, I'll put my hands up. I never thought he should have been the captain. But out of this squad, who the fuck else do we have? But what more do you want from a fucking, your captain is a right back who's either scored or facilitated over 250 goals in his career? Like, what the fuck more?
A goal every, in one way or another, a goal every second game that he's played.
Yeah.
Which is just silly. And also, like, people revere Gerrard as our manager despite his lack of success. I think a lot of that has to be contextualized with the fact that he had a major fucking rebuild beforehand.
Yeah.
And the budget was an awful lot smaller than what it is now in terms of wages, not necessarily transfer budget. Right. Thanks. That's growth. But on top of that, you know, Gerrard's the guy that if he walks in and tells you that you're captain, you are fucking captain. Yeah. And you're probably going to play like it as well, because I can only imagine the sense of belief in himself that he didn't just have at the time, that he probably still has. I mean, the Gerrard was still posting out a happy birthday message for Tavernier the other day. So I'm pretty sure that he's had a good
It's like 20 million pounds and doing fuck all. Like, I mean, geez, they're the only fucking league in the world with smaller fucking fan attendance than the other fucking 10
teams. Yeah. I suppose he's got the time to be firing out happy birthday messages. Yeah.
He's not doing anything. He's collecting a paycheck. That's it.
No, like,
there's no management involved in that shit. It's a fucking retirement league. Everybody knows what it is. It's MLS in the desert. Yeah, that's all it fucking is.
No, but to cap off our tab loving for this week, because I know it's a weekly thing now, and as it should be, because the guys had a really
hard time. It's a feature, not a bug.
The guys had a really hard time, and yet he still keeps on stepping up. That's one thing. But it's a very tab thing to do to go and score one with a penalty, but then just to come up with a fucking ridiculous finish for the free kick after the fact. It's such a regular occurrence with him. And you could also look back in recent seasons and see his record for one or two of those seasons and think, yeah, that's pretty amazing. That'll never happen again. It keeps happening every fucking season. Every season. It's
fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine he's done all this without anyone playing in front of him who can actually play on the right.
Just imagine if he was a left back. Fucking hell. No, he's done more than enough to warrant a good bit of a leeway and a bit of forgiveness for those that were certainly not for forgiving him not too long ago. So
yeah,
I think we have to appreciate him while he's here. He's not irreplaceable. Nobody ever should be at Rangers, first and foremost.
No.
Nor should they be with a functioning fucking training model. Alan
McCoy's replaceable, right? I mean, there you go.
In an ideal world, we would have kept Nathan Patterson for a few more years. His development would have fucking stalled and we would have never seen him again. But, you know, he's Tavernier's a very good player to have and we shouldn't be complaining about him in my book. But, There's a lot more problems in the team. Despite that, yesterday's game, I think everybody put in a good shift, even the likes of Lundstrom, which we're seeing a little bit more of. Like you said, it's the bare minimum you should expect for a guy that's on 40k a week.
Making £43,000 a week. Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, yeah. But he's doing like really actually capable things for a change. And I think all of that's on Clément. It's starting to shape up very well. I am trying my best not to love him on the basis of his press conferences, but I'm getting very close. Just to have him break my heart in the next 2 months, most likely. But yeah, it's night and day. It's very easy to have that adjustment from the previous manager. But yes,
I love it too. We kind of touched on it last week, and we talked about it off online here. He's a little bit fucking mental, and I love it.
Yes,
he's a fucking nutter, man. Like
screaming at Dessers for not pressing in the last 5 minutes of the game. Going
when he was telling Borna, he was yelling at Barisic, "Fucking go play! What are you doing?" Like,
yeah,
fucking great. He subbed James Tavernier off.
Yeah.
When the fuck was the last time that happened that he wasn't carrying an injury?
I am guessing that it was for the wee ovation that he got.
Yes. Course it was. Yeah.
That stuff
but
is
still,
much needed.
He did it.
Yeah. But he also subbed. And one thing we have to bring back about Cantwell is that maybe we're judging his character completely wrong here, but I've heard other people say this in the time that he's been here, that it does have the feel of one of these kind of former Premier League footballers, even though he's at a decent age, contrary to our usual signing habits. He's one that could quite easily turn against the manager, it feels like. And yeah, he subbed him at halftime on Sunday. And
there was a second booking. Had he been on the park?
I don't think he would have got subbed otherwise. But his performance was fairly middling at best. And I would have... If it was Football Manager saying, I would have been subbing at halftime on that basis.
I would have hooked him at 38 minutes. It would have been one of those, get the fuck off. That's it. You're done.
And then to sell him for £13 million in the January transfer window.
Get that release clause, baby. We got two this week. We're back on, thank God. Last week fucked me up because playing on Wednesday just messed with my goddamn head. Of course, we've got the racists coming to Ibrox. We gotta do? We win these two and we're into the knockout round, and we know what we do in the knockout round of the Europa League. We just
And I'm absolutely not one of these people. If anybody that does follow me on Twitter, please don't. Just look at how we were in the first half of the season, and we had much better players back then as well. That's the obvious caveat. But look at how good we were in the first half, how terrible we were, rather, in the first half of the season on our run to that place in Spain that shall not be named.
Yeah.
It was abject at best, and that was both with Gerrard and the CL qualifiers and with Gio in the group stages. Who was it we struggled to get past from fucking Turkmenistan or whatever it was?
Whatever.
I can't even remember when that was. Anyway, I don't even know if it was the same
or what. I can. Yeah, I don't know.
It feels like it was the same season. But we can see how quickly things can change. I'm not saying we'll go and do it again. I don't even know where the final is this year. Probably Dublin or something. But
I think it is. Oh my God!
Watch the Terriers fall into third.
Drew Pole in Dublin.
the Terriers dropping into the Europa League would make that a tasty proposition, but I certainly don't hold out any hope for it happening. I'm just saying, you can look at two halves of a season very different ways. I don't think these players are going to reach those levels. Not in a million years. It's a much worse squad.
We've also got the issue.
Get them fit in the January break, and let's see where we go from there.
See, but we've got the problem too, because Sunday we go to the beautiful Tony Macaroni with the worst pitch in the fucking. Somebody's gonna get hurt Sunday. Like that. That's the only guarantee about going to Livingston is Martindale's gonna lay down for us, and somebody's gonna get injured.
we've seen the injuries on Kelly's pitch as well. It's especially in these conditions.
Again, it's fucking embarrassing. This is the top flight in Europe, and you have plastic parks.
Was it the Netherlands recently said that they're not going to allow it from, it's like season 25, 26 onwards. Yeah. I think I could just be imagining that, but I'm pretty sure there's one or two countries that have quite recently said no, none in the top flight. And that's absolutely correct. I mean, if there's teams like whoever the fuck, Dundee's pitch in midweek was terrible, right? But that's because they were experiencing a storm. Yeah. But I'd much rather our players were playing on that pitch than they were at Rugby Park or Tony Macaroni. Yeah.
MLS has it, but that's because half the team's playing fucking NFL stadiums.
Yeah, right?
That's, you know, different. I mean, it's just, and also MLS is a fucking retirement league, so who the fuck cares? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, it's another indicator of what you want from your product, and Scottish football doesn't want to be good.
I know that there's a lot of the teams in the lower leagues use those pitches
for community purposes,
which is fine, but none of the top flight teams should have to do that.
No.
That is very much the most important thing. Yeah.
You have to upgrade your stadium if you're going into the top flight. That should be one of the fucking requirements.
If there's minimum seating requirements for those stadiums, then there should be minimum requirements.
Grass requirements, yes.
Yeah. God. I mean, there should really be. It's not that difficult to have a set standard of a pitch. I know that teams have. We have a hybrid pitch or whatever. That probably saves you half the burden of employing a fucking kit man if you're going to invest in it. But I guess that's the other problem. These teams that now have those plastic pitches probably can't afford to replace it. Never mind the upkeep. But yeah, it's fucking up the game. Because teams go there and they know they're at an immediate disadvantage. Us in Celtic, less so, but we've still had difficult games there. It's the likes of, not that I give a shit, because I'd like to see them all relegated, but you know, the likes of Hibs or Aberdeen or Hearts, the better teams in the league would go to Livingston or Killie and probably struggle to come away with points because it's just such a difference.
Can you do it on a windy Sunday morning in Livingston? That's... we got one question here from Alan. He wants to know if Sam Lammers more than Todd Cantwell equals victory. Does this prove the multiverse theory? Please show your working. It is a strange thing. Look, again, get rid of his ass as quick as you can. He almost looks like a footballer, though, for the past few matches. It's crazy what a manager can do.
It's great. It's that, and it's also just nice to. It's nice to see because I don't buy into the same idea that it's going to just, you know, whinging and shouting at footballers about their level of effort or standards or anything like that. Never mind the obvious lack of quality. It's never really going to change anything. Ultimately, it's going to be a good manager that changes that. You sending them DMs or fucking even the Michael Beale stuff that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's sad that a guy's going out like that and he shouldn't, but come on. Your
fucking mobile phone. You shouldn't have a Twitter account first. It's the only thing I don't like with Big Bill. You shouldn't have Twitter, but whatever.
Well, at least he doesn't manage
it. Put your fucking mobile down, man. Look, Mick, I know you're home, you're not doing anything, there's a chance you're late. You are getting paid to do fuck all for 5 more months. Just go be like Roger Mitchell. Go be happy.
Go sit in Lake Como and shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Look, Gerard's not bringing you back, buddy. And you're probably not getting another management job ever again because you fucked two of them now. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, maybe like some League One side or something, but he probably thinks that's below his level at this point.
He can sign all the fucking former Chelsea youth players he wants at that level. Yes. So
actually, you know what? Maybe him getting a job would be the best thing because then he could come back and get Dessers and Lammers the fuck out of here. God.
Best of what we paid for them. My point with that scene, though, is just leading into the stuff that happens online. And look, it's always going to happen, and it's not at the level of abuse that our opponents on Thursday will dish out. But it's... I just don't see the point. Beale might have been pissed on Twitter liking tweets about how he wasn't backed or whatever, but you firing abuse into his DMs is not
no, don't do that.
It's just
proper fucking wee guy behavior. Just grow the fuck.
Yeah, just knock it off. Look, no one likes us. We don't care. Don't talk about fucking Michael Biehl. He's not here anymore. Fuck him. He sucked. He's gone.
Anyway, what was the question again?
All right, fuck it. That's it. We gotta get that out of here. That's it for Don't Ask Me No Questions this week. Me and David will be back Tuesday with the Big Crow Pod. Todd is still in Italy doing his Italy stuff. And I guess, well, he's not back next week either because he's got to do comedy. So we will be sans Todd again tomorrow. But we'll still have the full 90 minutes plus stoppage time on the Crow Pod. And like I said, stick around if you want to hear two men in their 30s talk about their football manager saves for like 10 or 15 minutes, because I'm packing that onto the end. It's so bad. God.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Danny, of course, you can find him on Twitter at DJ_1872. Don't follow him, but he's there. Thanks again, Danny.
Do not. More of you are going against that now. Please fucking stop. I don't. What about these podcasts gives you any kind of an inclination that is worth it?
Look, this isn't a bit, folks. He's not good on
Twitter. No. Go do something more productive. Get off Twitter, go touch grass. Leave me the fuck alone.
Touch grass or touch ass. That's all you need to do. So that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
You can't be fucking serious at all.
Best player I ever had is in my FM14 save that's in like 2060 or whatever. But he came up through the system. But of course, his name was Paul O'Donnell. And I kept wanting to use the editor to change his fucking name and never did.
See, what I do there, Shane, is just immediately release them. Don't care how good he is.
Honestly,
get the fuck out, Michael.
The best player I've ever had in any FM save. He played like 19 seasons and had like, he was a number, he wasn't an out and out striker. He was a number 10. We had like 458 goals and like another same amount of assists. And he was never my penalty taker either. They were all from fucking hope. Unless he was on a hat trick, that was the only time he ever took the penalties.
I had a left winger that came through. Because of course it was a left winger.
It couldn't be on the right.
Came through the youth team and he looked like shit for like the first 5 years, and then suddenly just morphed into this fucking elite level football. And he played like two good seasons for me because of that. Because otherwise, if he was good from the start, he would have been in the fucking team.
Yeah.
And then I put a release clause on him, but nobody's ever bought a player from me for like over 40, 50 million quid. If I put one on for like 80 million, nobody's ever going to buy him. Within like 6 months, PSG came in and gave me good. I was like,
when I finally started the FM20 save, and like, after Morelos wants a new contract every 6 months, you know?
Yep.
So I put I put a fucking like £65 million release clause on it.
It
was like the next window.
Because
Mourinho was still at Spurs and that. He bought Barisic for $31 million, Tavernier for $43 million, and then met the $65 million release on fucking Morelos. So I was like, God damn it. Take my whole fucking team.
Mourinho's got good taste.
Well, so I got Nathan Patterson as my captain now. So I signed some cunt from Dinamo. What the hell is that fucking holy midfielder that they have? Oh no, I'll sign a Croatian any fucking day of the week.
Oh, I got that same. That's the only FM where I've had like a truly great Rangers team that would be winning the Champions League every season. I had like fucking Ballon d'Or winners throughout it.
Oh yeah, I know. That was my first Ballon d'Or winner in the FM game. His name was like Tonči Liritić. It was Croatian that I bought from Dinamo. It's like
I had a Croatian striker, and he was like the perfect like all rounder. Like he could do everything. He was a big cunt. Great in the air, but really fucking rapid, amazing for like every single thing you could ask from a striker. And first season in, just wins the Ballon d'Or like it's nothing.
My guy was a right wing, of course, because I can't develop a right wing. he was like one of those slow wingers. So it was like 40 assists, like 15 goals or so. But it was just like every dead, if there was a dead ball within 40 yards of the goal, it was going in.
The winger that I had that produced and went to PSG, his name was something, I can't remember what his first name was. It wasn't Billy, but it was something to begin with a B.
Yes.
But his surname was Williamson, and I was just like,
First of all, you have, if you're going to be a good winger, you have to have a long name, a long surname. That's the rule. That's the rule. You have to run the length.
So fucking bad.
You have to run the length of your name for a start. You have to be capable of that.
Daniel Candeus.
Yeah. But that was the team. I even had like a Scottish centre half that was unbelievable. Like, because Scottish players are so difficult to get in the game because they're all shit.
Yeah. Well, until you get like your U system to like kind max of, capacity.
Kind of. Eventually, yeah. there is like a fucking VL that I know this, but apparently there is a function within the game that over like a span of like decades, which is how long you should actually be playing the game, the youth level does sort of improve very slowly. Yeah. You can eventually get better. Because like now, I had a save with fucking Sterling Albion this year's one, and got to like a level where I was like, I'm fucking sick of managing this shitty little team. I did ridiculous things with them. First season finished in the European places, second season won the Conference League, and then third season won the title, and then just was like, this is boring now. And started with Rangers and then proceeded to win three Champions Leagues with them. But there was like two Scottish players in the entire team, and only one of them is like a mainstay. It's this guy called Nathan McGurn. And he's just like a fucking bastard of a centre midfielder. He never gets booked or anything, which is odd because when you have these players in FM, they always do. But he's got like fucking 17 aggression, 17 bravery, like 18 tackling. He just kicks cunts, but he does it very, very well. He's like Scottish Reno Gattuso. He's fantastic. But he's got no technical ability.
That Terrier O'Donnell, because like I had one for him. So he replaced Callum Webster, who probably had more goals than that actually. But I bought because it was like in 2030 or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I bought him off Breakin for like £150,000, and he ended up being just an unbelievable fucking player. But that was because you start developing players, and I was like, you gotta just so I try to sell them to clubs.
That's the only way. Yeah.
Well, that was it, because then I ended up being the Scotland manager and won a World Cup with a squad entirely from players that came out of fucking Akinawi. All 23 men on the squad were either currently playing for me or had played for me.
What was the thing again? I've forgotten. I was remembering something else from that. The original team, not this new one with McGurn. The other one was, I talked about him as if he's like my fucking son. The original one with like the Croatian guy and everything. This was like FM 18 or something, and it was I had a centre midfield that he had like amazing technical ability and good like mentals and everything. Just physically, he was like Stephen Davis. You could just push him over. Tiny guy. There's this guy called Jim Greekin. He has like the oldest like old man name that you could ever think of for a guy that was like 16 when he came through the club. And at 16, all the way through to like when he was in his 30s, he was the exact same footballer. He never changed, but he was already good at the start. And then he was like kind of a player that you should probably have as like a bench option in that such a good team.
Yeah.
But he just kept on playing so fucking well. Like he would get like double figures goals, double figures assists, and he was the captain. I was like, I can't drop him. I can't replace him.
I'd like this guy, Greg Cameron, who I think I said, because this is that save where like Stranraer is like one of the best fucking teams.
They've won
a fucking Champions League because I just kept selling players to them when I had to get rid of somebody. And eventually that was like, fuck, like it's them and St. Johnston. They're the two fucking best two teams. I played St. Johnston in two European finals. But no, I was Greg Cameron, who was like, it was like that same kind of player. It was like, I can't do it because we're winning. And he's like, he's never unfit. I never have to sub him off.
Yeah.
He's there. He's number six. That's, he's always there.
That's the way you do it in FM. You kind of get past all the rating side of things and then you finally discover like, no.
No, this cunt works. That's it.
This cunt works. Play this guy. He looks like shit, but plays straight, like an elite level football.
X hustle off the fucking charts.
No, oh yeah, that was it with McGurn, right? So you know how, especially in the newer ones, I can't remember if even the slightly older iterations were any different. Don't think they were.
But you have like three rows of numbers for like all of their abilities, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have like technical, mental, and physical.
Yeah.
And with McGurn, it's all mental and physical. All of it. The other stuff's like 10s and 11s. But the other stuff is like 15s all the way through to like 18s. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's why I love that game, because I can just turn a shit Rangers team into like just utterly pissing over everybody.
I think that the FM14, I'm in like 2058 or something, and I've won like 13 Champions Leagues. You know, it's
you just beat like Dundee United and Aberdeen 12-0 every week. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's like, can I get to 150 league goals? That's all I want to do.
Well, yeah, that
kind of like
that
a goal differential. Your goal differential is like plus 122 or something. Your goalie's got 27 clean sheets.
You conceded three goals all season. They were all penalties. That's where I want to be with it, because it gets boring after a while, and then it gets fun again.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe like within like, say if you were playing for like 20 seasons, you'd maybe have like a 2-3 season spell where you're like, this is kind of all the same again. But then you get new guys through and it all changes. It's fucking ridiculous.
So you've signed a mad Bosnian right back who's just, yes.
The thing is, you could sign 12 Brazilians and win everything and just be fucking bored. You need like Slavic cunts. You need somebody that
I'll get a Brazilian and they wash out after like 2 years because I just get sick. I can't stand the fucking attitude. It's the same with like the Argentinians. It's like, all right, like I had one that was good and he was like, he was like the Scott Wright thing in my team. Like he rarely started. He started like 15 games, but he'd play 65 matches a year because I always fucking needed him.
my immediate problem right now with this Rangers team, and I'm about to ditch it because a new one's coming out, is the defense. They're all fucking midgets. I can't fit, but the problem is
there's got a backline of Redvins.
whatever has happened in this game is that like even at the top teams, like fucking whoever can spend whatever with the maximum reputation, attract any player they want, they all have small defenders, and none of them are particularly good. It's like, for some reason, the save, even though it's 10 years in now, there's no good defenders, and there's none of them, even the good ones, none of them are tall. They're all fucking midgets.
Don't you? You could tell there's something wrong in the coding. Like, you know, there's a bug, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck. Well, it was like 14 was the one where you hit the post like 20 times a match. Your players, like, once the ball hits the post, they stop playing.
They don't react.
The other team reacts, and your guys. And so, like, that's half the goals that you can see are breakaways from that shit.
The new ones are fixing that. The thing that I like about this year is like, You have like proper fucking things like deflections, and that like when a cross is sent in, it's not just a fucking laser pointed ball. It like moves and swerves, like all sorts of weird shit like that. So I'm fucking geeking out over that. But yeah,
all right, let's do this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use this whole bit, so I'm gonna lead it in with talking about.
Oh fuck! Oh no! I'm gonna sound like such a VL.
I'll tack it on to the end of the show. It'll be an Easter egg. Can you make it through Steve Miller? Listen to us talk about our FM saves for 15 minutes.